before, TED Talks were a part of our popular culture. I had Alex Talks with a little girl about life and inspiration and joy. Alexandra was my oldest daughter, and she was diagnosed with cancer when she was only 3 years old. Alex fought cancer with everything she had for 731 days. She made her very own to-live list, swimming with the dolphins, camping in our backyard, learning to make snickerdoodle cookies, and planting a sweet pea garden. Alex was bigger than life, and the disease she fought was so big. But when I look at her shoe, I'm reminded at how little she was. Just 2 days after we checked off the very last box on her list, and it was to have a colossal root beer float in a frosted cup. Yeah, we all love them. And Alexandra, she died in our arms and in our home. And that was 20 years ago, this very month. Alex's life was short, but it was beautiful because she instinctually knew how to create the life she wanted to live, moment to moment. We called it the Alex effect because we felt the power of giving and getting and sharing joy, and it changed our lives.
At the top of the show, you heard Regina Ellis speaking at TEDx Portland 2015. Regina founded the Children's Cancer Association in 1995 after her 5-year-old daughter, Alexandra, died of cancer. November 27th marks the CCA's annual Bedstock Concert, a one-of-a-kind music festival where artists play from bed for sick kids stuck in theirs. It helps raise funds and awareness for the flagship My Music RX program that delivers the healing power of music to kids and teens with serious illness. Today we chat with some of the executive team members at the CCA to learn more. I'm Gregory Day. You're listening to pdxpodcast.com.
Bedstock is an online music festival where bands play from bed as a show of solidarity with sick kids who are stuck in their hospital beds over the holidays.
That's Abby Geyer. She's the VP of brand who leads execution for Bedstock.
We first launched Bedstock 4 years ago on Giving Tuesday, which is a big day of giving back. Sort of a reaction to the mass consumption of Thanksgiving and Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And on Tuesday, can the world just pause and do some good? And it's really grown into a global movement, Giving Tuesday has. And in the 4 years we've been doing Bedstock, we've had more than 240 bands participate.
Wow, 240 bands.
240
Incredible.
Bands. Everyone from Ed Sheeran and Nick Jonas to Valerie June to Iron and Wine, The Decemberists, Ringo Starr and his all-star band. We've had 7 Grammy nominees participate, so it's pretty awesome. And this year for 2018 will be our 5th year. We already have 75 bands and counting lined up, including Jeff Tweedy and Death Cab for Cutie, Hozier, TV on the Radio, Ellie King, really awesome lineup. And we're also going to be doing a live stream event this year called Bedstock Live, just to keep everyone on their toes.
Thank you.
So we have a bed that we set up backstage at festivals like ACL, Traveler's Rest, which is curated by the Decembrists, Sasquatch, rest in peace. And we film with artists backstage their songs in bed. And the idea is that it is a really meaningful and memorable experience for the artist. So you can imagine a media lounge or media tent backstage at a festival. And bands are just going from interview to interview to on camera, and maybe not even really remembering who they have spoken with by the end of the festival, or if they're on a circuit and they're doing five festivals in a given season, right? But with us, they've done something different. They've gotten in bed, literally, to play a song in solidarity with a child who's stuck in a hospital bed. And we'll see bands from one festival to the next, and they'll say, oh, hey, I remember you guys. You're the Bedstock people. And that's really our goal, to do something unique that really visually keys into the mission impact of why they're playing from bed, and that provides a meaningful experience, not only for the artists, but for the kids who are watching them as well.
You know, it really struck me about Regina's TEDx presentation. Something she said, that kids need more than medicine, and that's what you're providing, way more than medicine. It must be a thrill to see the smiles there.
Yeah, definitely, and especially with Bedstock, it's this exclusive videos that a kid can really relate to as they're lying in bed and feeling separated from their friends or their outside life. To watch a video that is a musician that you love playing in bed.
Speaking is Maura Boyce. She's the director of programs who oversees My Music RX.
I think once you really get into the stats and see how many families are affected in some way, whether it's their own child or a niece or a nephew, it really affects a lot of people across the country. And so many of our programs serve not just kids who have cancer, but who have other serious illness or chronic illnesses. And to see the struggles and the battles and the courageous fights that so many kids put on across the pediatric hospital is pretty powerful.
So not just cancer?
That's right. Yeah, our music and hospital musicians that Abby spoke of, they really serve every pediatric unit in the hospital. So from the pediatric emergency department, so a kid who might be coming in needing stitches, and that's their first scary medical experience, we bring music in to help make that a little bit easier. And then are in all the inpatient units, so kids who are staying overnight for long periods of time, maybe at the hospital, in the clinic, if they're just coming in for their treatment for the day, and then even go into specialized units like the neonatal intensive care unit or the burn center.
You know, I was in a pretty dark place after Alex died, and I struggled with what would the next day look like, what did I want to do with my life, and how would I live the lessons learned. And I guess being Italian, you know, we make dinner and we open wine, and I invited family and friends around the kitchen table. And they dreamed with me about how we could make the world just a little bit better. And I founded the Children's Cancer Association in 1995 with a simple goal. Thank you. Thank you. We really had a simple goal, and it was how we would help kids with cancer and life-threatening illness harness the life-affirming power of pure joy, because we knew kids needed more than medicine.
I was very touched by what Regina said about her own personal experience. And do you get that? I mean, that kind of personal contact, or do you just concentrate on your job for the most part?
I think we all have a sense of that.
the number one reason everyone works here probably is because of mission and the feeling that we are.
The mission is we prescribe joy, right?
Correct. Correct. I think also in this day...
It's a bold statement.
It is. We're a bold organization. I think in this day and age as well, everybody has been impacted by cancer, right? So yes, our organization is focused on children and serious illness, but you know, I think the stat is something like one in four adults will have cancer at some point in their lifetime as well. And one in 300 kids will be diagnosed with cancer before they
complete high
school.
That's the stat that really got me. One in 300.
The recovery rate is really amazing, though. It's like 70%, which is amazing.
Because of early detection?
And better treatment. You know, they've really grown in sophistication of their treatment over the years. And so depending on the type of cancer or blood disorder a child has, there's some really great treatment options out there now that can have really high success rates.
We like to say that our programs as well, as you said earlier, that we know that kids need more than medicine. So when CCA was founded 20 plus years ago, at that time, no one was talking about music or friendship or nature in the context of a children's hospital.
Today in the US, cancer is the leading cause of death by disease for kids under 15. One in 330 kids in this country will be diagnosed with cancer by the time they are 20. Worldwide, almost 270,000 cases are diagnosed every year, and that is 720 kids a day. And it's not just cancer. There's over 10 million kids in the US that face chronic and life-threatening illness. They'll face serious, debilitating side effects of pain, depression, and anxiety. What Alexandra taught me, and what I've seen time and time and time again, is that even when a child's suffering is beyond imagination, a lifeline can be found by stringing together simple, beautiful, exquisite moments of joy. And that's what I decided to do for the rest of my life. I'm not a doctor. We don't treat diseases. There's a $30 billion cancer industry doing that beautifully. But my colleagues and I, we treat the impacts that kids struggle with when they're fighting for their lives. And we prescribe joy. One of the ways that we do that is through the healing power of music. And for our family, music was the soundtrack of our lives. And for all of us, music plays a pretty big role. I mean, who doesn't listen to music to run faster, or when we cry, or when we are remembering the ones we love?
And so when Regina founded Children's Cancer Association, she really set out to change the conversation and to reimagine what pediatric cancer care support services could look like, and to know that there is a need for programming that's kid prescribed and not just doctor prescribed. And what are those things that are so important to kids and families in the healthy world? Music, friendship, nature, laughter, play, all of those things become exponentially more important once they receive a serious diagnosis. So our role is to make sure they don't forget about all of those things while they're focused on their recovery and their treatment. You can imagine that the experience of a teenager who's diagnosed with cancer and is fully aware of their mortality and the implications is really different from the experience of, say, a five-year-old that five-year-old understands that they are in pain. They understand that this is horrible and they are unhappy, but they don't necessarily have that same sense of what might happen and how it might play out the way a teenager does. And so there's a whole other set of emotional and behavioral health issues that come along with the physical diagnosis.
You offer friendship too.
Yeah, our ChemoPal mentor program. ChemoPal mentor program.
That's a great name.
Matches trained adult volunteers with kids and teens who are going through treatment. So again, both at Randall and at Dornbecker Children's Hospitals, we have around 240 active matches each year. And so these matches, the adults come in and spend time with the kids and teens in treatment, playing games, sharing hobbies.
How do you match people together? By interests?
Yeah, we do a very extensive interview and background check and check references and get as much information on the mentors as we can, and then do meetings with the families to learn about the kid, what they like, what their interests are, what they want in a chemo pal. And then our team here at the CCA office is experts at putting together kids and teens who will get along and spend time together in the hospital.
So how do people become a chemo pal? They contact the CCA?
Yeah, you can go on our website, click the application to become a volunteer, and we'll follow up to tell you when the next training is. You can come in and learn more.
How many chemo pals are there?
Usually about 240 each year. We usually have more on a waiting list, waiting for that
more
right
pals
kid.
Pals than I have.
Yeah. We're lucky with a lot of great pals and volunteers here at CCA who help us create all these amazing moments for kids.
Right. It's just very important. You are prescribing joy, I think. So it's a three-pronged approach, three-headed beast. You're coming at it from every direction, and you're improving lives. It must feel good coming into work every day.
It does feel good coming to work every day. For myself personally,
You're just filling in spreadsheets.
No. this is the first nonprofit, actually, that I've worked at. And in my prior life, I worked for a big global sneaker brand, and I worked for a fancy Italian denim brand. And I like to joke that I used to hustle limited edition sneakers and distressed Italian denim for $400 jeans, and that I get to do what I love to do, but right now I get to hustle joy instead of sneakers or jeans. So, and know that I'm in a small way, hopefully making a difference for kids and families.
Wow, that inspired me.
Good. Music medicine is one of the many ways that we deliver joy at Children's Cancer Association today. But what about tomorrow? We know that over the next 10 to 20 years, we will see huge advancements in our medical environment, and it will result in extended survival rates and non-human interactions in our care delivery. Consultations will take place with us remotely, anywhere in the world. Surgeries will be performed by robots. Our chemotherapy infusions will take place in our home and at work. And wearables will monitor our vitals every moment of the day. We will be wired. And while these are incredible advancements, will they help a child feel more supported? I believe wholeheartedly in the power of human interactions, high touch, and face-to-face. And I think they're essential for our happiness. The vehicles and platforms that we will use to deliver JoyRx will evolve and grow, but the need for joy will not dissipate. Remember Alex's to live list? What's on yours? Maybe it's an epic adventure or a hike, or the reason you came here to TED this morning was to be inspired about doing something different in your life. But whatever it is, start checking it off today. Because statistics say that 4% of us will not be here next year. And one
and three of us will face cancer in our lifetime. So that means the person on your right or left or yourself will face that kind of diagnosis or already has. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? I get to go to a lot of birthday parties, which I love. And I have the privilege of attending a lot of funerals as well. And there's something that I've noticed, that at either of these celebrations, nobody ever talks about the person's job. They talk about who they were and how they made others feel. You know, when we think about a legacy, it is such a massive proposition to get your arms around. But when you measure your life in moments, what will I accomplish day to day, hour to hour, song to song? The joy effect is not about big, enormous things. It is about small, beautiful things, moment to moment. I am not in the business of predicting the future, but I am in the business of creating the future I want to live in, and so are you. Let's put the joy effect to work in all of our lives and across every industry. Because my experience over the last 20 years has taught me that joy grows exponentially when it's used collectively. Music heals, and joy matters.
Today's show was produced and edited by Gregory Day. That's me. If you'd like to contact me directly, you can reach me at greg@pdxpodcast.com. We'll be back very shortly. See you then.